Hello.
Hello, I'm Alyssa.
I'm May.
And we have a podcast called Crazy in Bed.
Crazy semicolon in bed.
Yeah, this isn't a sex podcast. We mean like we're crazy and we spend a lot of time in bed.
A lot.
Yes, we have new episodes coming out every Monday on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.
Please subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. Please.
Please listen.
We need this. This is all we have. We are fragile.
We're fragile, and we could relapse.
Hanging by thread, I'd say, but there's no thread, really.
No, threads are too strong.
Hello, I'm Madeline Walter.
And I'm Ben Axelrad, and we're both hypochondriacs.
I think I'm sick when I'm not.
And anytime I'm sick, I think I'm a goner for sure.
Welcome to Definitely Dying, the podcast about health concerns, both real and imagined.
Because it's better to laugh about it together than cry about it alone.
I have a runny nose and an ingrown hair, and
my knee hurts.
My armpit kind of hurts. Is that a rash? And I had Asian food, and that makes me feel kind of sick. I might be lactose intolerant.
Welcome to another Definitely Dying. We're so glad you're listening.
Yeah, thanks.
Ben, what's going on?
We're into the holiday season, mm-hmm. The end of the year. Time
it's nuts. It's 3 weeks. I booked my tickets back to New Jersey today, and they're in 3 weeks.
Yeah, 3 weeks.
It's nuts.
Yeah. I'm going nowhere. I'll be here if you're looking for me.
That's so nice. Will you actually get to stop?
Yeah. Yes.
Right.
The 17th, December 17th is the end for me.
Great.
It'll be good. Hopefully. We'll see.
Great. Yeah.
I've been thinking about, I've been reflecting on, I guess the year past, but life in general. Mm-hmm. My life, specifically my life. I've been thinking about me a lot lately. Which is always a good thing to do, to really focus in on yourself.
I only ever think about me. I'm tremendously narcissistic.
I've been thinking. It's at this point, it's weird to talk about a half anniversary or whatever, but I hit the like 3.5 years without cigarettes, having quit cigarettes. And I had gone through like a period, I would say, from like year two to year 3.5, where I was maybe smug. I was very self-satisfied.
Yeah.
I was very convinced that I was a hero and had much to inform others on as pertained to breaking habits and rituals of the negative persuasion. And then I started thinking about the reality that and maybe this is something that maybe you've quit something in your life and you know, out there, maybe Madeline, you, maybe mm-hmm. maybe our loyal listeners, thinking about all the things I was doing to compensate for cigarettes instead of actually having quit them, and that like thinking about how much that I'm a guy who likes the weed a little bit, and mm-hmm. probably that I was smoking like a disproportionate amount of weed in compensation for the lack of cigarettes, and that like I was probably eating more snacks and probably doing like more things that kind of I've always had like an issue with balancing my moods. Like doing, you know, I would notice in the past, and I tried to control it, but you know, things like smoking a bunch of weed and getting sort of a little bit too low, and then drinking a bunch of caffeine and then getting really high and then smoking weed, and just sort of like vacillating between these.
Numbing behaviors.
Yeah, a lot of like a lot of numbing behaviors, and realizing that like in quitting cigarettes that I had probably taken on more numbing behaviors to compensate, and thinking that like, no, in order to really be somebody who has quit, who is no longer a smoker, it can't just be not putting cigarettes into my mouth. It has to be overcoming those things that were maybe propelling me to like take these. Because I always knew, like, I smoked cigarettes because – this is turning long-winded.
Super interesting.
I smoked cigarettes to regulate my breathing, that I would get too hyper, and then I would calm myself by this breathing ritual, this – and then allowing it to sort of settle into my lungs, and then exhaling. And basically, reasons that are not dissimilar from why one meditates or why one goes through, like, a series of, like, of calming mechanisms.
Yeah.
But realizing that, like – I wasn't using healthy versions of this to overcome my addiction to cigarettes. Mm-hmm. I was just putting other things that were maybe unhealthy in the place of cigarettes.
And anything is unhealthy when you're doing it
for the
exactly
wrong reasons.
Right, exactly, yeah. But in particular, that like that it wasn't just the unhealthy compensation, that they were like bad things that you know, it was like I don't know what how much weight I gained after smoking cigarettes, but I definitely gained weight after smoking after quitting cigarettes, and I definitely was smoking way more weed.
Yeah.
And you know, not like necessarily an unhealthy amount of weed, other than that, like the reason for smoking it at all in those instances was unhealthy. And so, yeah, I just been thinking about that a lot lately. I'm thinking about like that it's actually time to really quit smoking and not just quit cigarettes. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
that's interesting, because it's, I wonder, is it possible to fully be free of that like impulse that we well, I guess it's like all of it is like it are all of these things are coping mechanisms.
Yeah, yeah.
So I guess so maybe like not eliminating your need for a coping mechanism, but just like replacing like these more detrimental rituals with more positive ones. So like but you maybe already do so many like you're already like an exerciser and a meditator.
Yeah, which means that maybe it isn't about replacing something. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's about feeling the feelings that I'm trying to hide from. And I don't, and that's always been like the difficult one for me. It's been a year where like I probably have been to 18 to 20 mental health specialists in my life, and none in the last 15 years, at least 15 years. And this was like the first year where I sort of went back and reconsidered like if it would be helpful for me to like just start talking about some of the things that are like maybe leading me down some habitual paths. As
well, because you apologize so much for having any negative emotions.
Yeah, that's true.
You like, and that to me feels like, yeah, like you don't feel allowed to have any like any feelings that are not just pretty like positive and constructive, and that feels like that's in pretty directly related to sort of falling back on all of these numbing mechanisms.
Definitely. Yeah. I think that and I don't like thinking it, and I know that intellectually I know it's not true, but I genuinely believe my entire existence to be a burden on everyone who knows me.
Yeah.
And I think that that's like not uncommon among in particular people that like, I remember talking to one of my good friends, a friend of the podcast has been on, Jeff Dutton.
Yeah.
And we were talking about this other friend of ours, and I said, that person is like kind of depressive, isn't he? And Jeff's response was, literally every one of my friends is depressive. And I do think that like we're sort of a circle in general, like, you know, the UCB community and people in comedy and most of the people that I'm close to are people who are a little bit harshly self-judgmental in ways that are detrimental, but also kind of endearing, like that, like we know so many truly talented people who don't recognize it in themselves, and that's something that I kind of enjoy about them. Like,
but at the same time, it's like a little problematic.
It is, definitely.
That also being unaware of your own talents is so celebrated.
True.
Like, and it's even like it's it bothers me that like so many like songs and like movies and trash is made about like women who like don't know how beautiful they are, and that's like fucked up, because like if you're a beautiful person, you should like recognize it, and it's weird if there's something so deeply wrong with you that you like don't know it. Like, it's we've really really conflated humility with a lack of self-awareness and like
self-destructive lack of self-awareness. Yeah. Absolutely. No question.
Yeah.
And if you're choosing between people who are too high on themselves or too low on themselves, you choose the people that are too low on themselves. But yeah, it's true. Both of them are problematic. You should find a balance. You should be.
And it's not bad to be too high on yourself, because that's like, those are off, like most often the people who get shit done.
True.
And those are the people who get better, because they're not like so busy beating themselves up.
Yeah. No, I just mean like, you know, like a borderline personality level of oh, this person truly thinks that they are God.
Yes.
That's, no one likes person. But a nice, like, I have worked hard for this accomplishment, and I deserve it, and I'm good. And that's, I would definitely benefit from having that thought at least once a day.
Yeah, and I'm feeling you deserve to express your feel, like that you're not just there to be convenient for people.
Yeah.
Like, that, like, you you're entitled to feel whatever you're feeling. Like, it doesn't make you like, it doesn't make you a burden or an inconvenience.
And I always have to remind myself that, like, people really enjoy being helpful. That, like, if you allow someone to be there for you and they're successfully, it's a hard thing when you put someone in a position to fail you, when you ask for something that a person can't give you.
Yes.
But if you ask somebody to help in a way that they can be helpful, often you're just asking for another person to be human alongside you.
I feel like going to therapy would be so good because it would just get, like, give you a space to start to, like, safely practice.
Yeah.
Feeling your feelings that feel less convenient to put on other people.
Yeah, I think that's true.
I think that's a great revelation.
Yeah, so that's where I'm at this week. How you doing?
I'm fine. Should we start the podcast?
Let's start the podcast. Guys, we have just an excellent guest for you today. We're so excited to have him. He is a writer from New Girl. He's a writer and also a voice actor on Big Mouth. He was a writer on The Kroll Show. You may have seen his Comedy Central Presents. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Joe Wanger's here. Joe, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Hi, Joe.
Hi.
I feel like I have to say that was a great intro, Ben.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That was really well done.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. Thanks. Yeah. No, I don't think I'm horrible at them, but they cause me tremendous anxiety.
Well done. Nobody would know.
I was afraid I'm going to drop my own credits in there. You may know him from being Ken and Susan Axelrad's son. Joe Wanger is here.
Well, I think it's, well, we're friends. I think it's weird, like, I'm sure it's not weird for Terry Gross when she's interviewing somebody she doesn't know who the fuck the person is.
That's
you
true.
Know, like.
Yeah. But it is, it's like, feels very weird and put on to, like, introduce your friend.
It feels like very, like, show businessy. Yeah.
But then the other side of it with the friend thing is just that, like, it feels like we wanted to have you on the show because, not because we're friends, but because by virtue of being friends, I know that you'll be an interesting, fun person to talk about the stuff that we talk about with. Yeah. I always feel weird that it feels like you, when you give somebody's credits up front, you're basically saying, like, this is why you should be listening.
You're like commodifying a person.
Exactly. Yeah. And the truth is, like, you just need to keep listening because Joe Wanger's here. Don't even worry about his credits.
Yeah.
He's a great guy. So I'm pissed at our listeners. I think that's why I feel so much anxiety.
Yeah, he's mad at you guys right now, right off the bat.
Yeah,
your anger is really palpable.
It is, Oh, there's like a thickness in this room right
and
now.
And it's your fault at home listening to it.
Why?
What did you do?
What do you care? What do you care? What do you care who pays his rent? Anyway.
So we like to start with the same question every episode. So that's what I'll ask you right now. On a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you think about death?
I would say I'm at like a 4.
Oh,
4.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Always?
Pretty low.
Have you always been at a 4?
I really specifically remember when I started thinking about death. Like,
really?
Highly, highly, highly specifically remember. I think I was 27 or 28, and I swear to God, I don't think I thought about it for more than a second before this.
Really?
It seemed so far away, or I was like, I had this attitude of like, I'll deal with it when I deal with it.
Yeah.
But I was like living in Queens at the time and I was trying to go to sleep. And I remember just laying in bed next to my girlfriend and I was like, oh, I am going to die someday and there's nothing I can do to stop it. And I sprung out of bed and I just like went walking around in Queens and I was like, I'm going to die. And it's like I knew it before then, but I didn't really like take the time to fully put myself in. Like, but I can remember it. I have a really shitty memory. I like. You know, those some people are like, oh, I remember everything. I just have little patches here and there of my childhood and of all like important things. But anything embarrassing or terrifying, I can remember and take me right back.
Like, so you have like sense
that's
memories.
I had so many great memories in this particular apartment in Queens. And like, that's one of the only ones I can remember is the time I lied in bed alone. Everybody else was asleep in the house and I was like, like, I'm going to die.
Oh, so you said this to no one. Like you.
Yeah, my girlfriend was asleep. And I just like shot up in bed and then just like went for a walk and kind of felt like momentarily better. But no, you're never better after you realize that.
But still, only a four. I mean.
I would say in my day to day, it's more of a four.
And do you tend to think of it more like philosophically? Do you tend to think of it like meaning like the idea of death? Do you tend to think about your own death? Do you think about like the death of people that you know?
A little bit of all those things. I think like a lot about, I feel like for me, the thing that's scary about it is that like loss of control. Mm. Like I work with a guy, my friend Adrian, and he said one time last year, like after Trump got elected, like he like in a, I'm paraphrasing him. Yeah. This is not his exact words, but he was like, if everything's going to get blown up, I'm kind of cool with that because I'd be pissed off if I died. I don't know what happens after I die.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? And I am not that way, but I do feel like a sense of like a loss of control. Like I feel like already guilty. Like if I died right now, like what a huge pain in the ass that would be for everybody in my life.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
Yeah. That doesn't, knowing you well, that doesn't surprise me that that's where your head would go. That the way that your death would inconvenience others.
Are you talking about like like in a macro sense or even just like the nitty gritty of like
planning up
the chores of sort of cleaning up after somebody's life?
Yeah, I think, like, you know, it's, I think of like my wife and like my mom and my sister and like, I just like feel like, ah, fuck, don't die. That's going to suck for them. You know?
Definitely. That,
That's, that, and yeah, so much of having a good life is like choosing to spend time with these people that are going to be very upset when you don't exist any longer.
Yeah.
That's like a, that's a tough thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Luckily, no one will shed a tear when I'm gone. let's move on from that.
You're
let's
so move mad on. At us all. We were going to be upset before, but then you got started with this podcast and you're mad and we're done.
I'm dead. What do you care about my credits?
Do you find yourself like there are certain people that I worry about them dying more than others? Like when my, if my mom calls me, I'm never like,
oh shit.
I'm never like, this is bad news. But if my dad calls me, I'm like, someone is dead.
Yeah, yeah.
Why is it because your dad calls?
He's never.
Or he's always embarrassed of bad news. Yeah.
I just don't know why. I mean, I definitely talk to my mom more. I guess. Yeah. I guess I call my dad more than my dad calls me.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. My dad called yesterday, just to see if I was over a little head cold, and I was certain that an old person was dead.
Yeah.
It just feels like. I would say if either of my parents call, my first instinct is like, oh, don't answer this. You're going to have to find out somebody's dead. And this is not. And I really do legitimately think in some moments like this would be a bad time to find out someone's dead. Like, and I often think about it in regards to like who I'm with. Like I told Madeline when she arrived that like a friend of mine had died very recently because I felt like she needed to be aware of where I was emotionally.
Yeah.
But that idea that like someone would be burdened by this reality that had been just presented to me. Like it wasn't even what I was living. It was just that somebody had told me information that sort of changed my purview and that like, oh, I can't do this to another person. Like even when Madeline came in and Madeline's one of my best friends and somebody who I can always talk to about this stuff with. Yeah. I was like, oh no. And now I have to like burden our podcast with this thing. Like,
well, it's that thing of like, even like my, you know, my grandma died a few months ago and it was like sad and I miss her and everybody misses her. But every time I told somebody, I said, like, you know, if they were like, how was your trip? Or I don't know if there was a need. I didn't like go around telling people for no reason. But if I had to tell someone, I'd be like, well, you know, my grandma died. But it's like no big deal.
Yeah,
everything's fine. It took like I felt like I had to like minimize that just so everybody knew they didn't have, like, it feels like a weird left turn in a conversation where like, the subtext is you're asking people to like feel sad for you. And you're like, I don't want this to be what this conversation's about. I'm just trying to explain like why I was in Ohio for a week.
Yeah.
Well, that, I think that's part of why I don't have the fear when my mom calls. Cause I have an issue with my mom where something serious will happen back home and she won't tell me.
yes,
right away, or she'll like wait until after it like gets sorted out, or she thinks it's like an okay time for me to hear it. And I've been living here for like 8 years now, and she's done it the whole time. And very early on, I was like, don't do that. Like, she has Crohn's disease, and she had a flare-up after I moved out here, but didn't tell me until after the fact. And I'm like, I want to know when a big deal happens.
Yes. Yeah.
But she has continued to not tell me. Or now she'll call and she'll go, I don't want to tell you this, but you told me to tell you. But, like, my Uncle Bob had, like, a heart attack a couple months ago, and she just, like, again didn't tell me.
Yeah.
So I think that is why when she calls, I'm kind of, like, never expecting it, because I'm always almost expecting the opposite from her.
Yeah, you know? You have to kind of pull it out of her.
Yeah.
My parents did do the same thing. Like, I remember this one time, it was the year after I graduated from college, and I went to Disney World with Ben, with my husband's family. Mm-hmm. And I had such a nice time. It was really fun. I, like, called my parents a couple times, you know. And then when I got back, they revealed that my dad had been in the hospital and he had had a surgery that went terribly wrong.
Wow.
And he had nearly died.
Oh, my God.
And everything ended up fine. And they hadn't told me because they're like, oh, you're at Disney World.
Right.
And I was you guys. my dad almost died.
Yeah, yeah.
And I guess there's nothing I could have I can appreciate why they did it, but
you
now,
get the logic of it. But
it feels crazy that I was like just like having a fun time on Soarin', and my like parents are like going through like a deeply traumatic experience.
Yeah, it feels like the logic transcends. Like, it starts out and they're like, oh, it's not a big enough deal to bother you, and then it turns into too big a deal to just all of a sudden spring it on you for the first time. But it's like, no, just keep us in the loop like adult human beings. Yes. I think that's one of the hard things living out here, because we all have – all of our family is – I have the closest family away at like 2,000 miles.
Right.
And both of you are East Coast families, and it does feel like you know, like when I lived in New York, for instance, New York is like an hour and 20 minutes plane ride from Michigan.
Yeah.
If something big happened, or even if something like modestly big happened, it was pretty easy to hop on a plane. You used to hop on a train and go to New York from Pennsylvania for improv classes. It would be easy enough to get back to there to deal with. Yeah. But there is something about like, oh, you know, like it's like a massive undertaking to like go home, even for like, you know, for good reasons. Like, I plan it 6 months ahead of time for that simple reason. Like, it does feel a little bit like when you have East Coast family, like moving out here isolates you. In this.
Well, my mom acts like the time zone means I'm on like another
planet. Right. Yeah.
But
she calls you Martian Joe, which is a weird thing, but accurate. Yeah. Accurate listeners.
Or I'll think if someone calls me early and they're I'll think something bad happened too. Like, if it's like, oh, they didn't take the time to do the math, this must be serious.
Right, right.
Like, my mom called me really early, like a couple of days before Thanksgiving, and I was like,
oh, no.
And then it turned out she just like had a tip on a recipe I wanted to make.
I get butt dials all the time at like what would be 4 a.m. time, and it's like, I'm not going back to sleep after I, you know. I think someone's butt died.
So what's the have you had a lot of, like, have you had any crazy medical experiences in your own life?
No, I've been very lucky, but I have like I've had a couple of like very specific hypochondriac sort of things.
Oh, yeah.
It is kind of like joked about in my family that Wengert men do not handle illness or sickness as well. Like, we're just big babies, basically. And like, my mom, the first time she met my dad's dad, they were like on some family like trip up to the mountains where he just had like the flu, but he was like acting like a baby. And my dad does it and I do it. And like, that is when I do think, I always kind of draw things to like, I won't be a hypochondriac for no reason.
Yeah.
If I like, I feel good today.
Yeah.
I won't think anything. But at the slightest inkling that something has gone wrong, I will be like, this is the start of the cancer or whatever I think it's going to be. And it's also, it's the same way with me and with drugs.
Oh,
which is why I don't smoke a lot of weed, because I am, even though I logically know that this isn't the case. If I get a little bit too high, I'm like, oh no, now I'm like this forever.
Right.
And I'll always be confused. which, as a person who craves control, is like obviously very scary.
Yeah, yeah.
And as a person who craves weed, is very true. You do kind of stay confused forever.
Always.
My most recent incident with this was I like went for on a jog, and I think I was a little dehydrated because like my vision got like a little weird, which I've had happen before. It was hot out. I was probably dehydrated. Yeah. So I came home and then I had a headache, and Holly, my wife, was like, you should. We have this thing called the magic bag. Have you ever seen one of these?
No.
It's just basically like a big like sock filled with rice, and you either heat it up.
Yeah, okay. Oh, I have one that's filled with corn.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I have a couple.
This is like a French Canadian company because it says magic bag, but it also says sock magique on it. And they're
and
great
for
products.
Americans, they're like, we better call it a bag, not a sock.
People will wear this rice because we're morons.
But it's just like a blue sleeve of rice, and she was like, when I get a headache now, heating it up really works for me. So she heated it up in the microwave, and I laid on the couch and put it on my eyes, and then made my headache go away.
Yeah.
And then the next morning, I had like a broken blood vessel in my eye, which very clearly is from the sock magique was probably too hot the night before. But I was like, okay. And I like made an appointment with my doctor for the next day, and I went into my doctor, and she was like, "I think it's okay. There's no like discharge or pus or anything. Yeah. It's not an infection. But if you want, you could go get blood work done and go to like an eye specialist." And I was like, "Yes, both of those things, both of those things." And I did both of those things, and I went to Quest Diagnostics and got blood work, and I went to an Glendale Eye, and they like, you know, dilated my eyes and did the whole test and everything. And then they gave me eye drops, and I never used a single eye drop because it went away by the time I picked up the eye drops. But every step of the way, it's like medical professionals being like, it's probably nothing. But I'm like, but let's make sure because there's bloodiness in my eye. Yeah,
what do you think it was?
I thought it was the start of blindness. I thought I was going to go blind in one eye. It's always like, this has got to be the worst possible thing because I have now done this enough that I know I won't Google the symptoms.
Yes.
Yeah.
I will just go, the only way I'm going to make myself feel better about this is to go to the doctor.
Yes.
So I'll go to the doctor. But the last time I Googled symptoms, again, it was I went on a run. Maybe I should stop running. And my face started twitching. Like I had this like involuntary like face twitch.
Yeah. Hmm.
And I just like Googled that, not even like in a constructive way, just like while I was still on the run. And one of the things that came up was Bell's palsy. And then I was like, I have Bell's palsy.
Oh, no.
And was just convinced that that's what I had. And it just like absolutely wasn't that.
Pro tip, if you don't go to the doctor, you can continue to hold on to these self-diagnoses. That's why I have Bell's palsy. I got it all.
Is the only thing that can make it go away seeing a doctor? Like, will it like escalate, or is it the kind of thing that you will think about and then get distracted?
The face twitch got worse.
Oh, no.
And then I talked to my dad, and he was like, sometimes I think you're like will get face twitches if you. He was like, eat a banana.
Yeah.
And I was like, what? I was like, fuck you. I was like, how is that like even a constructive thing to like suggest? Like, it seems so dismissive. And he was like, no. Like, it might be low potassium.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was. And then
low potassium is the thing very, very frequently. I mean, that's why that's why I started drinking the coconut water. Basically, I was drinking like – I was, you know, Gatorade's just like sugar water with electrolytes, but it does work. I mean, if you – you know, if you get to the point of dehydration, you drink a bunch of water, it doesn't do shit. The water helps before you get to the dehydration.
Yes.
At that point, you need electrolytes. You need to replenish your system. Honestly, the vast majority of the time, it is just hunger, or it's like a real hunger, like edation, like a real craving. Yeah. Of your body craves food, or your body just needs some fucking liquid inside of it.
Yeah.
And then the sheer number of symptoms that will arise from your body just not having those two things, food and water, insanity. And you could, you know, and that's why it's, and I do it, I'll do it, and I'll do it until the day I die. Maybe even as the result of doing it, I'll die. You type in those symptoms. The symptom's not the problem. The symptom's just what led you to the internet in the first place. It's just what caused you to panic.
The potassium thing is so weird to me. And then my other tendency is I will overcorrect.
Oh, yeah.
So I was like, well, I better start taking a potassium supplement every day. And so I did that. And then probably like a year later, I went in for like an annual checkup. And they like ran all, you know, they did all my numbers and everything. And he was like, your potassium is way too high. He was like, is there a reason why this? And I was like, oh, I take a potassium supplement. He was like, don't.
Oh, yeah.
He was like, do you eat this and this and this and this? And I was like, yes. He's like, then you're getting enough of it already. So, but I was like, you weren't there that one time.
That one time, my face was twitching. My dad said eat a banana.
And
he was right.
So that sort of leads us into the next line of questioning. So you're a man of routine, you would say, correct?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Walk us through your routine. Tell us about what you have to – morning in particular, would you say? Yeah?
Yeah, I have like a very specific morning routine, like a self-care routine that I sort of have developed over the years. When I started seeing a therapist after I moved out here, probably like 6 years ago now, maybe even more than that.
Yeah.
And one of the first things that he, you know, like as they're like figuring out about your daily routine, I was like a big fall asleep in my clothes sort of person, with the TV on and all the lights on in my apartment. And he was like, "That you're doing that because you don't like yourself and you're trying, that's one way that you're trying to attack yourself."
Whoa.
And he was like, you need to, like, be kind to yourself and, like, put yourself to bed and brush your teeth and, like, you'll sleep through the – because I would, like, not sleep through the night and blah, blah, blah. And so I started doing that. That was, like, my – it took me, like, 2 years to finally, like, consistently go to bed like a grown-up.
Yeah.
It was, like, getting into pajamas. And, like, we had to build in all these things where he was like – because I would come in and I'd be like, I did it 2 days in a row and then I missed 4 days. And he would even do stuff with me where he'd be like, as soon as you get home from work, if you don't think you're going out again, get into your pajamas. And I was like, okay. So I was doing that. But, it takes like, 3 weeks to build a habit.
Yeah.
And eventually once I did that, the next thing that we started working on was like just sort of starting the day with like self-care routines to sort of set myself up to have energy and like – be in like the right mental state to get through the day in a like productive, energetic way.
Yeah.
And I want to go back.
And I haven't said what they are yet.
No. And we will, assuming you're willing to talk about them. How crazy is that? You say that you said that thing, which seems very accurate. It takes 3 weeks to establish a habit. It takes like 2 days to break a habit. It's so easy to. I remember once after going to a trainer, hearing that like you could undo a year's worth of training in 2 weeks. like if you
That's
ate bad enough.
That's my least favorite fact I've ever heard. You've said it before.
I
think about it often, and I'm so mad that I know it.
No. I don't believe it to be a fact. I believe it to be something told to me by a trainer to get me to come back to a trainer. But I do know that, like, the amount of time it takes to undo good work is exponentially quicker than the amount of time it takes to actually, like, earn that victory or whatever.
There's something about my brain that it's like protecting the streak is important.
Yes.
Because once the streak is gone, then I'm like a machine at finding other excuses.
We all are.
You know, like if I like, because now I this is not a thing I just do like during work. We still have to do it on like the weekends and I do it on like vacations and stuff. And that is a thing where like my wife will be like, well, we're on vacation, like whatever.
Yeah.
But it's like, no, if I decide to not do this on this one morning, even if it's like Thanksgiving, the next day I'll be like, it's the day after Thanksgiving. And then I'm like, come on, it's Thanksgiving weekend. Then I'm like, it's almost Christmas, basically. And then it's like 5 years later and I'm a mess.
Okay, so let's go through the morning routine. Let's go through all of our morning routines. But let's start with you, Joe.
I have a lot of insane, like, ritualistic behavior things that I do. And one of my things is I have a list of things that I do every morning, but I don't necessarily do them in the same order.
Interesting.
So the things I try to accomplish, and that, I guess, makes it more fun for me or something.
Yeah.
I don't even know why I do that. But I, like, will take 5 minutes to, like, journal. Even if I feel like I have nothing to write about or nothing to say, just to sort of, like, dump out anything that I'm feeling from the day before, and then just sort of, like, set intentions and stuff for, like, where I'm at mentally and emotionally for today and, like, what I'm hoping to accomplish.
Do you ever do it at night? Like, do you ever? So, okay. So it isn't just, like, what's left over from the day before. Sometimes you put things to bed.
I try to do all this stuff. I call it my morning routine, but really it's, like, my daily routine.
Okay.
So if, like, it's a day where I have to get up early because I have something early in the morning, like, maybe I will do it, like, at lunch or in the evening.
Mm-hmm.
But I try to do it daily.
Yeah. Okay.
So I do that. I try to meditate every day for at least 5 minutes uninterrupted. Mm-hmm. It's hard for me to do more than that. And usually if I do try to do more than that, it just ends up being, like, a nap.
Right. Yeah.
A sitting up nap.
Yeah, 10's as much as I can give it because the meditation ends at 10 minutes. I've allotted for 10 minutes. But if I had gotten hooked on one that was 5, it would be 5. If I had gotten hooked on one that was 1, that's all I'm doing, yeah.
5 is, like, the perfect amount of time for me to, like, shut out all those thoughts and to, like, actually focus on my breath and not be thinking about, like, some other weird thing. And then to have just the right amount of, like, clear mind before then I start wondering too much, how long has it been?
Yeah.
Where'd you get it? Was it just, like, a YouTube kind of
thing?
Is it
a guided meditation or just a silent meditation?
Now I do it silent meditation on my own, but I started off doing Headspace, which is, like, an app and a guided program.
Do you have that?
I have it, and my brother, my little brother gave me a subscription to it for, like, my birthday, and I haven't, like, activated it yet, but there's this like
the animation, the intro animation.
Yeah, and I have an email that, like, so I'll like archive. I'll only, like, archive something when I've, like, dealt with it, and so, like, my email is, like, 2 pages, but, like, the first page there's, like, a lingering, like, unread email, and the subject heading is just "Evan wants you to be happy." I always feel so bad, and every time I'm, like, clicking through to, like, make sure everything is sorted, I always get to the "Evan wants you to be happy" email, and I'm like, so do I.
I do the same thing with my email. I kind of, like, keep it in there until I've, like, fully dealt with the thing.
Yeah.
I just learned of archiving, I would say, in, like, the last couple of weeks. It's changed my life. Yeah.
Oh, dude, I love it. I got folders. I love starting a new folder. It's great.
Me too. I love getting things, like, off of that main email page.
Yeah, no, it's a great feeling. It's a great feeling to have finished an email.
But I do want to say, I think the idea of inbox zero is bullshit. And I think, like, the people, like, sort of, like, glorifying that idea of, like, getting to, like, a clean inbox where, like, you have everything has been dealt with and you, like, deal with something and then get it out of there immediately. I think that's, like, that kind of thinking has, like, made me crazy in the opposite direction before, because I feel like you'll never get to a point where everything is dealt with, because being alive is, like, a series of, like, tasks that are in, like, some state of needing to be finished.
So
I feel like I feel very happily, like, not, like, having, like, 100 emails in my inbox feels, like, pretty fine to me.
Yeah.
More than that, I get crazy. But trying to get less than that also makes me insane.
Yeah. For those of you who don't know, Inbox Zero is the nerd equivalent to SEAL Team 6. they come in, they wipe out your emails, send you on your way.
So you meditate for 5 minutes.
I meditate, I journal, I try to do some sort of exercising, and my daily, I try to get 10,000 steps a day.
Yeah.
So sometimes I'll, like, go for a long run, and then I'll do a walk later on in the day.
Oh, yeah.
Usually that ends up taking me all day trying to get to that goal.
Yeah.
But I try to make, like, a run, or, like, I will go to the gym, one of my things I do in the morning. Yeah. And then part of my morning routine is just, like, taking all the stuff out of the dishwasher and then putting up. I am, like, very obsessed with, like, a nothing in the sink status in the kitchen. That just, like, makes me feel good for the whole rest of my day.
Yeah.
So that's on there. And then I have my one of shame, which is
nice.
Years ago now, I talked to somebody. I think it was, like, I forget who I talked to. It was somebody in the stand-up world about Lumosity,
yeah, yeah,
which is brain games, yeah, which has since been debunked. but I started doing it before it was debunked. Yeah. And there's just something like very calming. Like they give you five different games. It yeah. ends up taking you like 5 or 10 minutes. Yeah. And it's just like I just find it to be like soothing yeah. and like a calming thing. But Holly, whenever I'm doing it and yeah, Holly's yeah. watching me do it, she's like, that's not helping you do anything. That's not helping you.
Yeah, I remember those ads. It used to be like, it's like going to the gym for your brain.
Yeah, and it's yeah. not that.
Yeah.
You recommended it to me but didn't recommend it to me. You sort of said like, oh, this is a thing that I do that I think is like fun for the brain, but I can't recommend it. And I started doing it and I agreed with Holly. It went not that it didn't do it. It was, but I found that it was making me stressed in the morning.
Oh, really?
I was having a lot of self-doubt, I feel like. I think it was one of those, like, probably you're pretty good at them at this point, right?
I have reached, there's not that many games. So, yeah, yeah. But I'm, like, really good at all of them. There's yeah. this one where you have to, like, you're a barista and you have to fill different coffee orders and it's holding different, like, orders in your mind and then fulfilling them. Yeah. I'm fucking great at that. And I've gotten to the point where I'm like, only not. A robot could beat me at this game now. Yeah. But I still keep doing it. I'm never going to get any better.
Well, thank you for disproving me as a robot, because I was terrible at that game. It really upset me. It really sort of it sent me down a spiral. I was like, why can't I retain any information? And then I remembered it was the weed.
There's the damn one weed where like
made me confused again.
There's one where like little trains are coming out and they're different colored trains and you have to like switch yep. the track so that the train goes into the tunnel that has the same color.
Oh yeah.
And that one is fucking hard, but I'm still in the highest spot.
Yeah, not me. I'm running over the kid. The kid that I've tied to the tracks for no reason. It's not part of the game. Just in my head, I did it. And then I run him over. Okay, so...
So that's it. And then, I eat breakfast and I take a shower also.
Actually,
same breakfast or...?
I have, like, a bunch of stuff in rotation, but I kind of do the same.
We're going to play a game in a little bit.
Okay.
It's basically a fuck, marry, kill kind of game. We call cock, lock, and block on this. And I think it's going to go perfect with this conversation. We're going to talk very specifically about that kind of stuff. What, like, assuming, like, that you only had enough time to accomplish certain of these things, what would be? I think that'll be a fun game. Yeah. We were sort of going back and forth as to whether to have you play this game that I just described or a children's game in which you solve riddles to kill bacteria. And we felt like you were going to be good at both games. I think we were going to run out of time to do both. We might just have to have you back for another round. Okay. But we don't need to do that yet.
Yeah,
but
yeah, yeah.
So, Madeline, what's your morning routine? Besides, you know, you're a peanut butter head.
Yeah. My breakfast is always... oatmeal with peanut butter and some fruit in it. Mm. But, you know,
oatmeal's one of my things that I have in the rotation.
Yeah. What are you? Well,
I do steel cut oatmeal. What kind of oatmeal do you do?
I do just like Quaker, like 1 minute, like just the kind that you can like easily like put in a bowl and microwave in 2 minutes.
Rolled oats.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've tried the steel cut and it expands in my microwave in a way that is very unwieldy.
Yeah.
And I'm not willing to cook it any other way. Like, I need to keep it quick.
Yeah, I do it stovetop and it takes 7 minutes, and that's still, I'm like, this, I'm having an extravagant breakfast.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's the most time consuming breakfast. That
yeah.
I do.
That's, yeah.
I do a refrigerator style where you, you mix the oats with the fruit and the milk and some cinnamon or something.
Ooh.
Shake it up real good, put it in the fridge. 1 day later, excellent. 2 days later, perfect.
Oh, really?
Perfect. Yeah, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
So you got to get two going at once.
I just make enough for two meals.
Oh, yeah.
I make it in a mason jar. Mm. Feels very old-timey.
Yeah.
Have you ever had the frozen oatmeal?
No, I didn't even know you could get frozen.
They sell
oatmeal.
It at Trader Joe's. You keep it in the freezer, and then you just put the whole thing in the bowl and you microwave it, and then it's perfect.
Oh, that's great.
We would I worked on the show called Playing House, and they would have it there, and it was like a race to who could get the frozen. Like, they couldn't buy enough.
Yeah, yeah.
Man.
No, I even eat it cold. I don't heat it afterwards. Mm. I just
just a nice cold bowl. Because I don't like hot cereal. Never. Mm. I think it's. Did you have hot cereal as children?
Mm-hmm. Just only ever
yeah.
oatmeal.
Yeah, oatmeal. Yeah. But you had oatmeal. I didn't. We didn't have it. Yeah, we were cold cereal people.
Oh yeah, it was like a once in a while sort of thing, and it was pretty rare. It was like more like a grandparents thing.
Oh yeah. I was raised without grandparents. Sad reality of which I tell the long and trying story right now. It was a cool. Anyway, Madeline, back to you. So
I would like to have a routine that is more like that. I also will journal for about 5 minutes, like same where it's not the kind of journaling that I could ever like look back on and like learn something about what my life was like, you know, but it's like just like I'll like set an intention. And also my intentions are almost always like how I want to feel that day. And it's like rarely anything I want to actually accomplish. Mm-hmm. But it's like just like, yeah, to kind of just like dump. Like it helps me really like compartmentalize a lot of, like any like anxieties or any concerns. Like just like it's insane how helpful it is to just like scribble them down. And then be like, great, I thought about that. Yeah. Now I can just like move forward for the rest of the day.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah.
Even just like writing to myself, like,
yeah,
like I'm feeling kind of depressed, but it's going to go away. Yeah. And then me writing that is like, does make it happen.
Yes,
in
yes.
In a way that like me just thinking it doesn't.
Yeah. Or like if I have like something that's like feels important or high pressure or something that I like could potentially be nervous about, I'll like write like, you know, I write it in an insane way because I went to like some seminar once where like somebody described the sort of thoughts that like attack you as vultures. And then that language stuck with me. So I'll be like, I want to like, you know, like, ignore the vulture that will tell me like, that, like, you know, and it's like all seems so like new agey and insane, but it's super helpful because just naming it and then getting rid of it, it'll like, it'll really take care of it. Mm-hmm. And then also exercise, which like it depends. I'll sometimes do that in the morning and sometimes, like depending on how my day is structured. Like if I'm doing something like creative where I have to like generate like ideas or like good jokes or thoughts, I try to do that first thing in the morning. Mm-hmm. Like this is like a day where I get to structure my own day and don't have to arrive anywhere. I'll do that in the morning and then plan to like exercise later. But like, similarly, like I don't do 10,000 steps, but I have like every week I like my goal is always to like exercise like 5 days out of that week and to like either there and there's like a rotation of things that I like try to get in. And and then that's pretty. And then and oatmeal and coffee and also in no particular order. But usually. Yeah. But those are my I guess like three.
Is that your only coffee today, or then do you have more?
You know, it used to be my only coffee, and now occasionally I'll have like an afternoon coffee because I realized I can go to sleep. Like for a while, I was like, I can't sleep if I have a coffee in the afternoon. And now, like sometimes it just like really feels like a treat to have like usually an Americano in the afternoon. Mm.
Have one in the morning and then one around like 2.
Mm,
so I'm usually pretty safe for bedtime. But when I was like teaching middle school in New York, I would like get one of my thing with coffee in the morning is I wait until 9:30. So no matter what time I wake up, and usually I wake up around 6 or 7, I don't have it until 9:30 because you don't really need like your body does have natural energy.
Once you
just push through that like shitty feeling that you have when you first wake up, you kind of don't need it for a while.
Yeah.
So I do that I have one at 9:30, then one at 2:30. Mm. But when I was a middle school teacher, as soon as I would get up in the morning, I'd have one and then I would just never stop
like pound it for
day.
The rest.
That's how it was with Coca-Cola. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Now I don't drink any of it. Yeah. No caffeines for me.
None at all. Wow.
But it's not. I never liked coffee, and then I really don't like hot things very much. Like drinks in particular, like a burnt tongue, day ruiner.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Now I'm not coming back from it, and I have too much history with depression to be testing my limbs. Like a burnt tongue could be it for me on the wrong day. It really could.
Yeah.
What's your morning routine?
My morning routine. It sounds like I have the lengthiest morning routine of any of us. which doesn't make me feel good. I sort of brought you on thinking that you would at least rival me.
Mine takes a long time.
Yeah, yours does. It's true. I wake up and I've gotten hooked on this stuff called biotin, which is like for dry mouth. So I like wake
it's like
up.
Like a mouthwash?
Yeah. And it's like, it's similar to chapstick. Like I've used it so much that now I just have dry mouth whenever I don't use the stuff. Life goes on. So I do that, and I do a couple of pills, like Prilosec, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Like nothing major. Heartburn, that's what Prilosec's for. Then this is where it starts to get – this is where it takes a turn. Then I do oil pulling. I do 15 to 20 minutes of oil pulling. Then I do tongue scraping. Then I brush my teeth. Then I do 10 minutes of stretching. Then I do an hour of exercise. Uh-huh. I should reverse these next two, the hour of exercise followed by the breakfast. You should be eating the breakfast first.
Really?
But I don't like that thing. Yeah, you're supposed to eat and then wait 20 minutes, but I don't like it.
I don't know. I like to exercise because it's fun to look forward to your breakfast.
But what are you burning?
I don't care. I'm not like an elite athlete. I'm just trying to like not to die when I'm 60.
So then I will force myself to eat breakfast. And then I do my meditation, and then after my meditation, I do all the emails that are left over from the night before, and then I start. So usually my morning routine goes until about like 1:30 in the afternoon, I would say.
For me to do it all like with a shower and breakfast and everything, if I'm gonna like, you know, actually hit the 10,000 step goal, it'll like easily take 4 hours.
Oh yeah. That feels like it should be all day, right? Like isn't that what they say you should do 10,000 steps in a day?
Yeah.
There's just something about like today I did wake up early and I like went for a run and then I did the rest of my morning routine and then I had time before I had to go to work. So I like was going to get a coffee anyway. So I like walked to the coffee place. So then I like pretty much had the 10,000 steps, and I just – it's so dumb, but all day I'm like, I fucking
– it feels so good. I find myself doing the same thing where I like try to get everything out of the way just to get that feeling of like the last obligation you have being like, I could go home and just sit down for the rest of the day and it would be fine.
And I never do.
I never do. I never, ever do. I always – I have, like, fetishized sitting down and doing nothing so much, and I never do it.
I thought I was going to have work to do tonight, and then I kind of didn't. And I had a moment where I, like, forgot that I was doing this podcast, and I was like, oh, cool, I'm going to go home, and I don't have anything else to do. Yeah. And I did have that feeling of, like, what? But then what am I going to do? And then I was like, oh, wait, no, I have to do the podcast.
Yeah. Yeah.
We saved you from yourself.
Quick question. I know you probably is it game time? Do I have time to ask a question?
Sure.
So before you like, so now it feels like your life is like very regimented and like full of kind of different self-care routines. What was it like before? I know you said you fell asleep with your clothes on, but like, what about your life sort of drove you to be like, oh, I need to fix something?
It wasn't that different before. Yeah. Because it was very structured, but it was structured in this, like, very insanely unhealthy way.
Ooh.
Which was, I'm love to make a to-do list or, like, a schedule for the day. And, like, this is what I want to accomplish. But I used to do that in the most unrealistic way possible. And I didn't even, like, tell my therapist about it. Like, it took me going for a while where he was like, what is your to-do list look like? And it was just like unreasonable. Like I had unreasonable expectations of myself on every day. And I think it was like partially a byproduct of like being in like the entertainment industry. And like I feel like you hear a lot of advice that I think is good advice about like working hard and all that stuff, but if it goes in the wrong brain, that can be really bad.
Yeah.
So I'd be the sort of person that was like, well, I should do 3 hours of monologue jokes in the morning. And then I'm going to have to work through lunch because I have to start thinking about my new stand-up bits and also my pilot. And like when I started breaking down my day for him, he was like, you're never going to be able to do all that. So I got into a cycle of I would make a to-do list. Then I would get up in the morning. I would do a reasonable amount of that sort of stuff. then I would like want a nap, or yeah. I would like want a break, where I would just be tired because I was doing zero self-care, yeah. and then that would cause me to like, you know, take a nap and then feel guilty about yeah. myself and then feel shitty yeah. and then feel shitty for the rest of the day.
Yeah.
And I remember like being really resistant at first when he was like, you need to do some self-care things in the morning. Yeah. I was like, don't got time for
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
And like I did.
Yeah.
But it really took some like convincing and then also just doing it and seeing the benefits to be like, oh, I can't just like expect myself to be a robot that's going to like yeah. accomplish tasks
yeah,
all day.
Yeah.
You know what I
yeah.
mean? So now I have turned the things that are me being nice to myself into little robotic tasks.
Well, on that note, let's talk about robotic tasks.
Yes.
In the game, cock, lock, or block. So this is cock, lock, or block, your day edition. So we're going to do a few different categories. And, yeah, so the first one we're going to do is meals. So the options are breakfast, lunch, or dinner. So what we're going to say is that one of these meals is going to go terrible. It's going to be a bad meal.
Mm-hmm.
So what you can say is cock means that it's okay if this meal is bad some of the time.
Okay.
Lock means this meal has to be good every time.
Mm-hmm.
And then block means this. It doesn't. I don't care about this meal. This is a, like basically a throwaway. Does this make sense? Are you guys able to
yeah.
wrap your head around yeah. this lexicon that was not uttered all that articulately?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, great. So breakfast, lunch, or dinner, cock, lock, or block. So basically what we're doing is ranking the importance of these meals.
Yeah.
I know what mine are.
Okay. What are you going to
I would lock lunch.
So lunch is most important meal for you.
Ooh. Lunch is the one that can't go wrong.
It can't go wrong. Yeah.
Oh.
Dinner would be the
Which
one.
Is common in for writers. Very common for writers.
Huh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think maybe it would be. It's just like.
Wait, sorry. What was number two again?
So number two is like it can go bad sometimes.
Yeah, some of the, it's a hit or miss.
And then
the last one is it's just not going to go good for you.
That would be breakfast.
Me too. Yeah.
Yeah. Breakfast, I don't care. Breakfast is just like I'm putting fuel in the machine. And right. a lot of my breakfasts are like very boring. Occasionally I will go out to breakfast and get bacon and it's like the most
amazing
thing yeah. that I do. But usually it is like cereal, oatmeal, or like yogurt and granola. Or I will make egg whites, which is just like super boring. And for a long time, it was just plain egg whites. And now Trader Joe's sells this thing where it's everything bagel mix. Have you seen this?
Oh,
like
no.
Like the topping of an everything bagel just like in like a salt shaker. And
That's
I pour
so
a little
fun.
Bit of that on.
Egg whites.
Egg whites. But
That's
yeah, but lunch
really
is like get, is like I look forward to it in the morning and then it's like gets me through the
yeah.
rest of the day. But like dinner, I'm already like it's nighttime. I'm hanging out by the time dinner comes. So.
Yeah. Now I've heard the lunch thing about writers and editors across the board, and for editors, it's often like lunch for them is like middle of the night meal because it's like an overnight working
yeah.
gig kind of thing. But just like having that meal that will interrupt the workflow that like you can look forward to
yes.
is I guess important to yeah it's important to me too I think so what's your
well I would say the one I can lose would be lunch actually but and I like a good lunch but that I feel like it's very important for me to have something to look forward to and so then when lunch is over like having like the light at the end of the tunnel of dinner
yeah.
is hugely important to me
yeah,
so
yeah.
I think dinner is maybe a lock dinner and then breakfast could you know is fine if it's bad some of the time
so some days
yeah.
you're losing your oatmeal with peanut butter
yeah
and that's okay
well
in this scenario
no actually you know I'm gonna flip breakfast and dinner because also yeah if I don't have breakfast I'll feel crazy
right
yeah.
right
I think part of my choices come from the fact that like I control my own destiny with dinner like it's not ever gonna go bad because I'm like free.
Yeah.
Right.
Free to cook something or to go get literally whatever I
yeah.
want or whatever, like
yeah.
within reason. But lunch, I feel like this extra anxiety because it is like a little bit out of my control.
Okay. Yeah.
Because I'm like at a job right now where
yeah.
they decide where you're going and like there is this like weird pressure in the morning where they pick the place and like everybody's studying the menu. Like
oh,
it's
yeah.
like the most a group of sitcom writers ordering lunch is like the most high stakes thing you will ever see. It's like, so crazy.
Yeah.
No, that makes sense. And you're a Blue Apron guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Pretty religiously, most nights?
Yeah, it depends. I would say I end up cooking like 3 nights a week.
Yeah, yeah.
These
okay.
days.
So those 3 nights that you do cook, what if those are the nights that it goes bad? Like, meaning you're responsible for the food being bad on those nights.
I'm
are you
okay
with it?
With
okay.
It. That's and fair. That's part of the thing when you do a subscription meal service like Blue Apron, like sometimes they're duds.
Yeah.
And they've recently changed it so you can like really customize and pick the meals. So we like, my wife and I will go on and pick stuff ahead of time. But before that, it was a real roll of the dice and she would be pissed, man. Sometimes they'll just give you like a trash piece of fish and it's like, ugh, you're not really doing anything to it. And she would be like, this is a punishment dinner. And I was like, it does not matter. It is fuel. I correctly prepared the fuel.
You really sold that robotic
thing. I prepared the fuel according to the directions and that is what's important.
I can't remember what exactly I was eating, but I made myself something recently, and Ben said, that looks like the meal of someone trying to punish themselves. And I was like, well, you're not wrong.
Yeah, I'm going to do lunch, dinner, breakfast, too. Mostly the feeling that, like, I'm never all that happy with the breakfast regardless. Like, I'm putting it in my body because I, like, have to eat, but I don't, like, really want mm-hmm. the food. And lunch, yeah. No, there's just something about, like, being excited about lunch coming that it gets me going.
The thing that you're leaving off for me is, deep down inside, I am, like, an 8-year-old boy because the most important meal to me is, like, the snacks.
Right.
I get
right.
a certain yes. amount of snacks a day because I do, like, a calorie counter thing. And, like, if I went home right now and my house had been burglarized and they only took my snacks, I'd be like very upset.
Yeah,
What are your go-to snacks?
Just like anything in the snack section at Trader Joe's. I'm like,
have you had cheesy trees?
No, what is cheesy trees? I'm excited because I haven't had these.
Oh, they're a seasonal cheese cracker.
Okay.
So they're in that little like wooden shelf in Trader Joe's with like just like Christmassy stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And they are a cheese cracker that's shaped like a tree. But they are better than a Cheez-It. They're better. It's the best cheese cracker I've had.
I'll be there. I'm there.
Oh, you're going to be so happy. Cheesy trees are terrific. Nice. And you got to, you know, get there while they're still there.
Only the holiday season.
Yeah. They put out all the holiday stuff. And, like, even stuff that I was like, I know this is garbage.
Yeah.
There's something. They have at the Eagle Rock Trader Joe's, they're really pushing liqueur chocolates, like chocolates with a little bit of like liquor inside, and I was like, I should. It was a box. It was like a giant, like a 20-inch by 20-inch box, and I was like, I need it. And somehow I stopped myself from buying it.
Nice. Okay. Next question. This one is about routines. Mm-hmm. So we're gonna do morning routine, daily routine, an unwinding routine. So basically daily routine, morning routine, obviously we know, we talked about our morning routine. So like basically assume like you, you're rushed in the morning and you can't get to all these things that you need to do in the morning. The unwind one means that like basically that thing you were describing about like you don't have time to do the things that you want to do to unwind at night. You basically fall asleep like in your clothes. Like as soon as you get home, you don't really feel like adjusted. And then daily routine is basically like you show up for work or whatever it is that you do on a regular basis, and it's just like an off day. Like maybe somebody's in the office that shouldn't be there. Maybe there's like some strange job that you have to do. Maybe you're going to have to work extra long.
Mm-hmm.
Just in general, what you've come to expect from your Monday through Friday is off.
Yeah.
Versus morning, you can't quite accomplish the things you need to accomplish at night. You don't do the things that you need to feel like relaxed.
Yeah.
Who,
I have mine.
Okay, Madeline, you go first on this one.
Morning lock.
It's got to be morning. Yeah. You got to nail it.
Nighttime, it's okay if it goes bad some of the time. And daytime, I don't care because I feel like no day goes how you want it to.
Fair. Okay.
I would flip morning and night for you, but then I feel the same way about the day. And in fact, if things change during the day a little bit, I kind of almost like it.
Like
even if it's like for the worse.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I feel like also that morning routine enables you to feel like that about the day too.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. There's something about like when I skip my morning routine stuff, I can like pull it together to have a good day.
Yeah.
But if I just like go off track at nighttime, I feel the effects. It'll fuck up my sleeping and then it'll fuck up the next day worse. And there's like a domino effect.
I actually forgot an important part of my morning routine that has a big effect on this particular question, which is making my bed. If I don't make my bed, it fucks up my night. And this is a new thing. Like I wasn't somebody who grew up making my bed.
Yeah.
Once I started doing it, like the last, basically, I had that thing that you were talking about where you're like one day after Thanksgiving, you're like, yeah, it's the day after Thanksgiving. Yeah. And the next thing I knew, it was like 4 days in a row of not making my bed. And I slept worse every single night. It's, and I don't think it has anything to do with the bed. It's just that that I felt like a failure that day. And I was a failure that day. Not in ways that were necessarily like devastating, but this, it wasn't a successful day. It was a day in which I chose
one of those,
to like,
it is like a subtly like you are in your mind, you're like hitting yourself with a little bat when you do something like that.
Yeah.
And that's, for me, it was like not ever making the bed. But it was like, if I didn't brush my teeth, that was just a way of me being like, ah, fuck you.
Right, right. Totally.
But it's interesting. I'm sure everybody has something like that. Yeah. Same thing where it's just like.
So, yeah, I'm going to lock in my morning routine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, maybe it's the same as what you said.
Same as Madeline, yeah.
Wait, it's yours is morning, yours is night? Okay, so mine's the same as Madeline's then. Yeah, morning. Then night, then day. Yeah, the day one, we needed a third option. But the truth is that, like, even when we have, like, semi-permanent jobs, it's still just gig economy. Every day is probably going to be different. But if I had, like, a set day, like, if I was used to, I arrive at the office at 9, I leave at 5, I get my lunch at 12:30. If I didn't get my lunch at 12:30... If I was used to getting my lunch at 12:30, I could see that fucking me up big time.
Yeah.
I could see
the expectation.
I could see
of
becoming
a
livid person.
Yeah.
I think I might do it right now.
If the PA shows up at 10 minutes late, like think of how many things you're 10 minutes late.
Yeah.
10 minutes late for lunch, they're like, there's like a rumbling about like this person needs to be. But if they come 30 minutes early, it's like, they fucking rule. We love it. Because that always turns into like, we'll come back to work at 2. So then it's like, you just got us like an extra half an hour. And by the way, we're not doing anything difficult or hard either. But it's just like, the way our studio's now at New Girl, we can see the parking lot from our from the writer's room. And he drives a Mini Cooper. And like, from like 11:45 on, we're not really doing work. Like we're all taking, like, going to the window and seeing if we see the Volkswagen pulling up.
He's doing it. He's doing it.
not a Mini Cooper, a Volkswagen.
Right, though. That's great. Are we ready for the next one?
I am.
The last one?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So this one, I didn't have a name for it exactly. I called it overage, basically meaning you either have to wake up too early, you have to go to sleep too late, or you have to work too long. And we're all workaholics, so when we say work too long, that means that like you've been told that you're going to leave a job that you want to leave by this time, say 5 o'clock, and they're keeping you there for reasons that are both outside of your control and outside of your understanding.
Yeah.
Till like say 8 o'clock.
How late is too late for going to bed too late?
Well, I feel like you decide. Basically, what it means is that like you're exhausted. You really want to go to sleep, and you still have to stay. I imagine it's probably a different time for everybody. For me, it's honestly probably like midnight. At midnight, I'm a cranky person.
Yeah.
But and my brother is arriving tonight at midnight, so we'll see how that goes. Basically you either, you gotta wake up too early, you go to sleep too late, or you get worked too hard.
I guess the one I can't fuck with is, maybe I don't know yet. I know the one that I don't care about, which is waking up early. I can adjust to it. I don't always love it, but I can make that adjustment.
Yeah.
Staying up too late is like, I guess that's the one that can go wrong sometimes. The thing I can't mess with is working too long. Just because, again, I'm like a creature of habit and I'm really into routines. And what they'll do at New Girl sometimes, they'll go, tomorrow night we're going to stay late. Expect to order dinner. Then I don't mind it.
Right.
Yeah.
And we normally leave around 6, but if they say, hey, tomorrow we're going to be here till 9, I'm okay.
Yeah.
And there have even been rare occasions of like, we got to put out production draft tomorrow. We're way behind. We're going to be here very late. It doesn't bother me because I go into the day ready for like, well, we might be there till midnight tonight.
You don't want your expectations fucked with. Mm-hmm. Yeah. One way or another, you want to get what you've paid for.
Yes.
Yeah, that
it's
makes
like
sense.
It's the same thing with like flight delays. If they say it's going to be 2 hours delayed, then that's what it is. I'm cool with. But the ones that drive me crazy is like, it's going to be 20 minutes.
Right.
It's another 20 minutes. It's another 20 minutes. And then it ends up being like 4 hours.
It's 20 minutes till we get back on the microphone to tell you how long it's going to be at this point. Yeah. And then you can't. Mm-hmm. You can't make plans. I mean, you can't plan around.
Yeah.
2 hours. I mean, 2 hours also helps just for the simple reason that like we can sort of there's almost everything. You can accomplish just about everything in 2 hours. You could watch a movie while you sat there. You could actually take a nap if you wanted to. When they show up and they're like 20 minutes and then we're going to tell you again, what that basically
you're
means
like,
is
I'm just going to fucking wait.
Sit on the edge of your seat. Yeah. Okay. So you went with you were locking work days got to be from start time to end time consistent. Mm-hmm. Bedtime is the one that you can fuck with sometimes, and morning is the one that like you can kind of play it by ear.
Yes,
Madeline.
Yeah, I'm so the one that I think can be fucked with most is my work day, and I don't like it, but when I get a weird amount of sleep, I can be like, I'll feel like I'll second guess everything I do for a whole day, like which. I guess it's like I think going to bed too late is worse than waking up too early.
Yeah,
but like, yeah, I can wake up early, no problem. But like going to bed like late, like going to bed like weird late, which like for me is like after one, that like ruins. Like I feel like insane for the whole rest of the next day. So I think ranking, I guess it's bedtime.
Bedtime's got to be...
Got to be locked.
Yeah. No later than 1 a.m.
Yeah.
Bedtime.
Yeah. Then waking up early... No. Then...
Yeah, I think that's what you said.
Yeah. Then waking up early and then the work day...
Crap.
It can... Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm gonna put waking up... Here's the thing. I wake up super early. Like, I would say... My average wake-up time is probably around, like, 5:30 in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
But if you told me I had to be up at 5:30 in the morning, I would never get to sleep the night before.
Oh,
so knowing
that
I have to get up early is going to mess up the night's sleep, which then messes up. Like, it causes some, like, sort of, like, localized anxiety.
Yes, yeah.
And so I'm going to put that – that's the – I want to be able to wake up just naturally whenever I wake up. That's going to be that's the one I'm going to lock.
Okay.
The one I'm going to block is, I'm having a hard time with this one.
Yeah, this
I should have thought of it when I
this
invented
one's
the
tough,
game.
Yeah.
This out of all the scenarios, this one has been the hardest.
Yeah. None of these options sound ideal.
No. Which does sound ideal for the three of us. Three people that would not be happy if things went too easy for us. We're going to work a little bit harder. All right, I'll go with I've got to wake up when I wake up. Number two is going to be the workday one.
Mm-hmm.
If I don't like it there and I keep having to stay, then I feel like I get cranky. And then once I get cranky, I start to feel really guilty about how I'm treating other people.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody tells me that I'm not being all that mean, but I feel inside that I'm being mean. And that may be worse.
Yeah.
So then, I guess I'll just leave my bedtime. But the truth is that, like, after midnight, I'm going to be...
Yeah.
I guess just after midnight, I'm just going to let others take the blame for the bad mood that I'm in. Wow.
That one was hard.
Yeah, that was a tough one. Wow. I'm sorry, guys.
No, it was good. It was a good challenge.
All right, let's kill some bacteria. No, that's a zig. You want to chime in? Breakfast, lunch, dinner? Let's try not to. I can't even remember the lock block, but rank them just breakfast, lunch, dinner in order of
dinner, lunch, breakfast.
Okay, nice. Routines, morning, daily, or nighttime, your unwinding routine?
Nighttime, daily, morning.
Okay, nice, nice. And then overage, early wake up, late bedtime, or a long work day?
Late bedtime. Work day is whatever. I cannot wake up early. I hate waking up early.
Nice, nice. So I don't think, yeah, I think we were universally different across the board.
Yeah,
we're different people. That's the takeaway from this podcast. We're
That's
different
the
people.
Conclusion.
Yep. Joe, thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Tell the listeners where they can find you on the internet and things you would like to promote from your personal and professional life.
Well, I do a show every week at UCB Franklin called The Smokes. It's on Mondays at 7 o'clock. And,
an improv super team?
I think it's all very funny people and that we do a good show. So that's what I would plug. I also do ASCAP pretty regularly, Saturdays or Sundays, sometimes both.
Nice. And where can they find you on the internets?
I have a Twitter account that I don't really use anymore, but if you want to go back and read some old jokes, there. All my old show plugs are there. I found that it's too, I feel too, it makes me too anxious to look at it, and it makes me too feel too silly when I go on there and I'm like, hey, did you ever think like, hey, what was up with that song from Ghostbusters? Anyway, it's like literally like the worst things in the world are happening. You know.
This is true.
Yes.
That's what your big plug was. Look around, folks. Yeah. Literally the worst things in history. Yeah. Right before your eyes.
Well, I remember, like, this is like a normal part of every podcast. And I used to go on the podcast and go to my Twitter. But now it's like I have a private Instagram. And I'm like, don't find me on the internet. Don't go on the internet is my suggestion.
Yeah.
I like that. That's a good plug.
Yeah, I think it's a great plug.
That's one of my new routines. I'm trying to like expand the amount of time between how the time in between looking at Twitter.
Ooh,
and I'm now
great.
Up to 2.5 days.
Oh,
so far
great!
I took a quiz that was how does your brain function or how does your brain work? What does your brain do well? And one of those questions was like, what's the first thing that you do when you wake up in the morning? And you know, some of the options were. Some of the options were, you know, things like brush your teeth or take a shower or eat breakfast, drink coffee. But then the one, and it hadn't occurred to me until I took this quiz that the true answer, which was one of the ones on there, was just look at your phone. That's, the first thing that I do. Yep. And for a while, I was, plugging my phone in outside of the room so that I couldn't get to it for a while.
Yeah.
But no, that's number one, is I see what happened while I slept. And that's not a good thing to wonder.
No, it's bad.
In general, it's not a good thing to wonder what was going on when you're not around.
Yeah.
It's FOMO. But yeah. Do we have anything else that we're supposed to say, Madeline, or should we end the podcast?
No, I think we Thank you so much, Joe.
Thanks, Joe.
Thanks,
that was great. This has been Definitely Dying. Thank you guys so much for listening.
Don't forget to rate and review us on iTunes, and you can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Definitely Dying.
Until next time, stay healthy.
This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.